welcome to this Vanderbilt University Health and Wellness Podcast. I'm Ralph Topham with Work-Life Connections EAP. And once again, I'm fortunate to be with Corbett Doyle, who is a lecturer in leadership diversity and organizational effectiveness in the Peabody College at Vanderbilt University. And Corbett, thanks for joining us again. Corbett, during the off time, we generated a list of things that managers and leaders and employees might do in order to create an even greater trust and respect among working groups of people within the university. And I would like to name some of those and ask you to expand on them based upon your expertise in this area. For instance, respect for colleagues.
One of the easiest things that we can do is to show respect for our colleagues, regardless of what we may have in common, what issues we may agree on or disagree on. Research has shown that organizations that have a high degree of respect for one another, one, build trust, and as a result, build highly inclusive environments where people are comfortable bringing who they are to work each day. They are comfortable bringing their best self to work. And in that way, we succeed as an organization and we cultivate a more diverse environment.
Respect would also include things like listening skills, asking questions, instead of assuming that we know what a person is thinking, really asking for more information about how they view a particular idea, particular project, and things like this.
Perfect. And that's actually very close to what I would say is, you know, the second tip. So respecting our colleagues is the first tip. And the second one is to be curious. So not just the listening skills, which is absolutely important to build a trusting and inclusive environment, but be curious about people who may have a different background from the background that we have. Allow people to share their background with you. So one of the easiest ways, for example, if you are working with a colleague who was born in another country, you might ask them about their customs for how they celebrate birthdays. It's a great way to learn about another culture.
What about taking a personal stand when I hear someone making an offensive remark?
I think it is one of the hardest things for many of us to do. It is also one of the ways that we can have a lasting impact on individuals. In this world of, you know, emails and Facebook, we have all been the recipients of these email jokes that are passed around from individual to individual. Many of them are zingers at individuals who are different from us, whether it's weight, religion, nationality, sexual identity or sexual orientation, lots of them are passed around. Somebody has to stop that, because when you allow yourself to find humor at the expense of other individuals, you are demeaning the differences among you. And somebody has to take a stand. So the email ones are some of the easiest ones to take a stand against. The ones that are much more difficult, but probably have an even bigger impact, is when someone tells you an off-color joke. Tell them you don't find it funny. Tell them you'd prefer that they didn't tell the joke at all, but if they're going to, don't tell you. You don't want to hear it. Don't say it in front of you. Make them aware of the fact that they, if somebody happened to be walking by that was in the category they were denigrating, it would have a huge negative impact. That individual would be uncomfortable coming to work the next day.
How might we go about ensuring that we get a diverse pool of candidates and that each candidate is evaluated for each opportunity effectively? And how do we use objective standards to evaluate others in this case?
The goal of most organizations that try to focus on diversity is a number counting issue. So you want to make sure that whatever the category is, whether it's your incoming freshman class, whether it's the next person you promote, you know, the goal of most diversity strategies is to have numbers that reflect difference. At the end of the day, there are a couple of critical strategies that you can use to aid that. Now, there's been a lot of controversy in the courts about the ability of universities to do that from a student admission standpoint. There are ways that it can be done, and Vanderbilt has been very successful, I think, in terms of increasing the diversity of each freshman class. But that's not necessarily sufficient for an organization the size and scope of Vanderbilt. So what do we do about the people who work here? One of the ways that we can make sure that we are increasing the diversity of our leadership and the talent in the organization is to make sure that every time we have an opening, that we have a diverse slate of candidates for the position. We want to make sure that we identify a slate of candidates for that opportunity that has different demographics in the group. Now, sometimes that means we have to look longer, we have to look further, and we have to look harder. Generally, whatever the reigning demographic is in a department or in an organization, the easiest group to find are more people that fit the reigning demographic. So you have to be willing to spend a little more, put a little more time and effort into identifying a diverse slate. You always want to pick the best person, always. I would never recommend that someone not pick the best person. But you won't consistently cultivate the kind of innovation and creativity that will differentiate this organization unless you make sure that you're looking a little longer and a little harder to make sure you're bringing in some diversity of thoughts and ideas. The second step you want to do is make sure that you have a diverse group of people evaluating that slate of candidates. If you only have the ruling demographic making that evaluation, likes are attracted to like, you will have a tendency to find the similar candidates more appealing. And then the last part, which you mentioned in the question, is one of the issues we talked about on a prior podcast, and that's the need to have objective criteria for making the decisions. To avoid that like drawn to like, make sure you know exactly what you need in terms of the competencies that you are hiring or promoting for, and then evaluate the candidates against that rubric.
Excellent. Well, thank you for your time. Appreciate all that you've shared with us. Thanks for joining us today. We'd like to hear from you, especially if you have a question or topic you'd like to hear on the podcast. Contact us at health.wellness@vanderbilt.edu. Also, check us out on our website at www.healthandwellness.vanderbilt.edu.